Jesus is coming. Or praise the Lord, or one of those things. I was going to talk about what's happening in Europe. Have anybody watch it? Incredible stuff. It's almost unbelievable when you watch it. And it's coming to Canada next week, I think. So have your eyes open. Keep your eyes on the YouTube or TV. I don't know. Do they show it on TV? No? Anyway, how many of you liked James' message last week? Was it any good? Hallelujah. Give us a round. Come on, guys. Oh, fantastic. He had it good. I loved this. I listened to it at home. I couldn't find nothing wrong. I figured, boy, we're getting a preacher made, homemade preacher. Didn't send him to Bible school. Anyway, would anybody be interested in taking James' message and taking it a notch higher? Everybody? We'll take it a notch higher. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. There's something called praying in tongues. That's when it becomes a new, whole new power and a whole new atmosphere. And things change. So what I'll be doing is I'll explain a few scripture. I'll lay down the rules for praying in tongues in church. And I'll give you a few short stories of what happened to me while I was praying in tongues. But before I get into this message, let's rise and ask the Lord for blessing. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your grace. I ask you to bless the listeners, anoint the message. Let the power of your Spirit roll so that we can get the benefits, Lord. Open our hearts and our truth to what you have for us. I thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 1. Now, dear brethren and sisters, regarding your questions, they were asking Paul questions about the special abilities the Spirit gives us. I don't want you to misunderstand that. He wants the Christians to understand, not be naive, but not to make fun. But he wants them to understand what the Word of God says about this subject. And I'll be intermingling different subjects here, but the main thing is tongues, how to pray in tongues. I started praying tongues when I was about a year or two, maybe 2 years, a Christian. And God gave me the revelation what praying in tongues was. I remember the first week I was praying in tongues, my mouth was all sore. Why? I was praying in tongues always. I was praying without ceasing. I kid you not, my mouth was sore. Hallelujah. And I'm not telling you to do that. But think on those things and allow the Holy Spirit to work through you. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, 1 and 2. Let love be your highest goal. That comes first. Love, respect for one another. But you should also desire the special abilities the Spirit gives, especially the ability to prophesy with tongues many times comes prophecy. And for if it had the ability, for if you have the ability to speak in tongues, you will be talking only to who? To God. Interesting. Have you ever spoken to God? I have in tongues. I have this in my language. So it works both ways. Since people wouldn't be able to understand you, you will be speaking by the power of the Spirit, but it will be a mystery. A mystery is they will not understand what you are speaking. Very interesting. And why is that? Because many times when we pray, God does not want our interference. Ever thought of that? How can you pray for somebody where God doesn't want your interference? I'll give you a little interesting note on this. Try praying for Trudeau. You have to switch to tongues so you don't know what you're talking about. Let God deal with it. That's the best way of seeing it. Pray in tongues. Let God deal with it. His Spirit is praying through you. So, if you don't like a guy, pray in tongues over him. If your kids don't behave and you don't have the gumption of disciplining them, pray in tongues over them. But don't blame me if something happens to them. Just pray in tongues over them. And you will notice God dealing with them. Very simple. A person who speaks in tongues is strengthened personally. They're personally strengthened. But one who speaks a word of prophecy strengthens the whole church. If I have a prophecy, if you believe in prophecy, I strengthen the whole church. They are edified. So these two intermingle quite a bit because there's praying in tongues and interpretation of tongues right at the same time. If we have people who have the gift of doing it, or should I say, who have the guts of doing it, they don't quite dare. They're so used to sitting very quietly in the back so nobody sees them, and God gives them the message. Guess what? No, I can't speak that in front of people. They'll think I'm crazy. That's because you're not exercising the gift that God gives you. So anybody who speaks in tongues should pray also for the ability to speak, for the ability to interpret that which has been said. So if you pray in tongues, seek God. If he cannot give you the ability to pray and to interpret tongues. And for if I pray in tongues, my spirit is praying, but my understanding is what? But I don't understand what I'm saying. It doesn't make sense, does it? Praying in tongues, your understanding doesn't understand it. Does it make sense to you? If you know what you talk when I'm talking about, it will. But the average Christian does not accept the fact that this gibberish that people are saying or praying makes sense to God. But here's the deal I have. Let God make the language You speak it through your mouth, and whatever language is, it's his problem to interpret it. Hallelujah. Amen. If he can do it, they don't come from him. But he's created every tongue. So anybody who speaks in tongues should pray also for the interpretation, for the ability to interpret what he has said. I've tried that, and God has given me the ability also to explain what I've just prayed. So God is faithful. He will show you. So it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, well then, what shall I say? I will pray in the Spirit and will also pray in words I understand. I will sing in the Spirit and I will also sing in words I understand. So it tells you got a choice. You can sing or pray in both languages. But after a while, when you know how to pray in tongues, you pray a bit and boom, you're switched over. You don't even notice it. You're praying in tongues. I've seen it so many times. I want to give you a bit of an example of what happened to me when I was still a Hutterite. I had learned to pray in tongues, and I was practicing it. And the Lord got me up at 1:15 every night for 3 days. 1:15 every night for 3 days. I would pray in tongues for 15 minutes because I had a heavy heart. And I prayed on my knees in tongues because I didn't know what to pray for. I had no idea. And after 15 minutes, that heaviness left. The next day, the same thing. 1:15 in the morning, I woke up, went on my knees, heavy of heart, praying in tongues, 15 minutes. The third day, same thing. Lord woke me up at 1:15, heavy in heart. I prayed in tongues for 15 minutes. But that day I said, Lord, I want to know what I'm praying for. I cannot go night after night hoping and wishing something I would understand. Well, he didn't say anything to me, but it was threshing time. And we had a 60, those 6-inch, I think it was a 60-foot auger that was up there. And I was in the feed mill doing feed work. And one of my kids came in and said, Dad, there's a man lying out there by the auger. And I went out there. Our boss had tried to move the auger from one bin to another. And his pin unhooked. And he tried to keep that auger down by jumping on it. And guess what? He was taken for a ride 60 feet up into the air. He flew a little bit after that, came down, and lay there. And I ran out there, and it just came to when I was there. And the Holy Spirit said to me, that's what you were praying for. You were praying for that guy. We called the ambulance. They maneuvered him over to a stretcher. And they said, the only thing we can figure out why this guy is not dead, he has 1 inch of fat on his body. Dropping 60 feet, 1 inch of fat, give me a break. I'm telling you, it was the Holy Spirit that kept him from being killed. I saw it. I was there. Very interesting. When God, you pray, and we'll see what will happen. And it happened. I saw it. Of course, then after that, I took praying in tongues very, very seriously. Another little story I had. We were helping a guy at prayer meeting. He had a problem which we couldn't figure out. We prayed in tongues over him and everything. And there's a girl that came to that prayer meeting who never been there before, understood us perfectly in English. And she explained to us what was wrong with the guy. And we asked the guy, and he said it's true. Then we could deal with him. Afterwards, I think the girl got so scared, she never came back. That's an interesting one. So if you hear praying in tongues, don't be scared. It's not going to kill you. You can take a little bit of sass when somebody tells you God is showing me this. Don't worry about it. God always tries to make it better for you. So these are the ways of praying in tongues. There's one more where you pray in tongues, you may not know it, and you speak to a person with another language. Never happened to me, but at the Church of the Rock in Winnipeg, they would be praying in tongues, and there was a couple from the Inuit, from Eskimo country, who later told the preacher, that guy spoke our language perfectly when he prayed for us at the front of the church. They understood him 100%. The guy had no idea. So, what is praying in tongues? It's mysteries many times. So, for you to start getting into that, God will open doors for you. And you can go many, many ways, like in the spirit realm, through the power of praying in tongues. God will show you things that you never thought were possible. I've experienced quite a few of them, and let me tell you, it is interesting. We're heading in that direction. And we're fast running out of time. You just look at the world system. We might as well start seeking the face of God in those things. In 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 19, but in the church meeting, I would rather speak 5 understanding words to others than 10,000 words in unknown language. Why? What's the use of me praying in tongues here? You won't understand it unless I have an interpreter. So it's useless. So he said he'd rather speak 5 words than 10,000 in an unknown tongue. So Paul understood the wisdom of people understanding prayers. Of course, there's churches today that put themselves on YouTube, and you figure, what are those guys doing anyway? It's against the scripture to what they're doing, but they're still doing it anyway. They're trying to please God through tongues, through different sorts of things, just because the Bible says they can. But the Bible has rules and regulations for that, and we should pay attention to it. If you want to hear somebody praying in tongues, I discourage it here unless there's an interpreter. If you really want to hear somebody praying in tongues or maybe have a word for you, there's something we call Bible study. Come there and you will sometimes see more than you can handle. I don't want to scare you away. I just want to tell you how it is. So let the Lord open your heart to these things. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 20. Dear brethren and sisters, don't be childish in your understanding of these things. Be innocent as babes when it comes to evil, but be mature in understanding matters of this kind. God wants us to be matured when it comes to the gifts of the Spirit, because the gifts of the Spirit, if you study them, they can take you out into realms that you have never seen possible. You can pray for the weather. You can pray for anything you want. If you're in tune with God, you're likely to get it because God hears your prayers. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 23. Even so, listen to this one. If unbelievers or people who don't understand these things come into your church meeting and hear everybody speaking in an unknown tongue or in an unknown language, they will think you're crazy. I don't blame them. If you get somebody coming in here who has no idea what praying in tongues is and hears us all screaming away in tongues, that guy will think we're crazy for sure. So be careful. Don't get carried away. God can hit you and you can get carried away. I know that for a fact. So try to be careful. The Spirit are in subject unto those who they are in. So you have the ability to call the shots. Don't try to say, well, I had no choice. No, the Bible teaches otherwise. The spirits are subject unto you. They have to listen to what you say. So don't let people think we're crazy when they come in here, because they turn around and run for the door as soon as they come. So God wants us to understand that. I think that's good advice. Very, very good advice. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 27. No more than two or three should speak in tongues. They must speak one at a time, and somebody must interpret what they say. But if no one is present who can interpret, they must be silent in the church meeting and speak in tongues to God privately. Very good plan. Like, you don't want to think we're crazy. That's why a lot of those guys get that bad publicity, because they don't care who sees them. They don't care if they put it on TV. I can't figure it out why they do that, but that seems to be the norm these days. So speak privately to God. If there's nobody around to interpret, you will be blessed by it. I've seen enough to know what this can cause when there's so much chaos on. So let the Lord open your heart to this, because He wants us to do everything decently and in order. It says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, 16, rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing. How can you pray without ceasing? When you switch to tongues, you can. Very easy. My mouth got sore. I didn't have nothing to pray for. I prayed for all my dogs, my cats. I didn't have cats. My dogs, my parents, my brothers, my sisters, whoever. I prayed for everybody. And then I ran out and I switched to tongues. Who knows who I prayed for? Only eternity will tell. But I tell you, I had a sore mouth. That I do remember. So, rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing. Another thing about rejoicing, if you do not know that you have assurance of salvation, if you do not know that you're going to heaven, how can you rejoice? It's impossible. I was listening to a preacher a couple of days ago. He was teaching on the power of the Holy Spirit to completely set you free from all sin, meaning once saved, always saved. He said, I cannot understand how people can go through Christianity without knowing that they know, that they know, that they go to heaven. I can't. How can you come here every week? How can those listening by internet listen every week, twice a week? Are they looking for it? Fine. But if you're just a casual looker, a casual seeker, you cannot have joy. I have joy in whatever situation I'm in. Do I ever get mad? I still got a lot of itching, and I do get mad. So, but at the same time, I rejoice that I'm alive, and I'm gonna be alive for the rest of eternity without itch. Hallelujah. No itching. No itching in heaven. I'll be free. I got one above everybody. I'm not going to itch. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. 1 Thessalonians chapter 15, Otis, rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. My wife claims she doesn't have an appetite. And I sometimes think to myself, I came home from the hospital. I was home for about a week. My food started stinking. I mean, horrifying smell. Worse, my food on my plate was worse than my food in my than what was in the toilet. I kid you not. But what did I do? I sat down and I thanked God for the food that He was providing for me, even though it didn't taste at all good. You have to. It's there. God gave it to you. So just be thankful. Within 1 month, it slowly disappeared. I can now taste a steak just as good as anybody, hallelujah. And I love steaks, in case anybody of you have any lying around. Oh boy. That's the will of God. You have to rejoice. Rejoice in the situation you're in, because if you're born again, you got it made. I don't care what's wrong with you. Johnny Erickson, 17 years of age, broke her neck. Of course, it took her a year to get used to it, but she now has a ministry. She can't move nothing from her head down, but she rejoices in the Lord. She knows she's soon going home, and she will be able to feed herself. She will be able to dress herself. She will be able to walk herself. She will be able to do with her hands what she wants to. And I'll be sitting there, standing there, and say, I'm rooting for you all the way, because I studied you and I took a lot of my information from you on how to deal with stuff like that. She writes books. You know how she writes books? She puts a pen in her mouth and she draws with her mouth. She writes letters with her mouth. Try that. I can't do it. I've tried it. I make a mess with my hands, never mind with my mouth. And she makes beautiful pictures with a pen stuck in her mouth. It's unbelievable what talent God will give you if you even dare to challenge him. Hallelujah. God is good. God is great. Hallelujah. The Lord bless you.